coming up on show 989, have we just seen the VW ID Buzz, the surf van in disguise? Let's find out. Plus on the show today, Volvo cars selling a ton of plug-in versions. Jeep Wrangler EV concept gets closer. And we've got some two-wheeled EV bike news from Honda. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Wednesday, 10th of Feb today. My name is Martin Lee. You know the deal. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I'm saving you time. I know that you're busy. I know that life can be upside down sometimes as well. It's been a strange COVID year, but you want to know what's going on with EVs, transport, bit of renewables, bit of energy in there as well, how we power our cars and vehicles, the ones we want to buy and drive in the next few years. And now, well, that's what I'm here to do, to make sure that we pick out only the stories that you need to know to save your time and not waste your time. Let's kick off with this news about the headline story today. Have we seen the VW ID Buzz? That's the surf slash camper van in disguise. Have VW made one of these and stuck a transporter body on top? Is it a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, let's find out. Ever since the concept made its debut for Detroit, in Detroit 4 years ago, we've been waiting for the production version of the ID Buzz, the electric minivan, getting closer now, as evidenced by these spy photos that have come across the desk of Autoblog. Looks like a test mule to us. It may look like a VW transporter on the outside if you kind of glance at it, if it flies past, but if you really examine what we're looking at here, you see its true nature, says Joel at Autoblog. The first sign that it is not, in fact, a VW transporter is the placard on the back. They think they have to display it's an electric vehicle for some reason in Germany. I don't see it as much on other cars when they're testing in the US, but there has to be like a warning. And the notice reads, Elektrofahrzeug. Sorry, all Germans, for getting that wrong. It translates as electric vehicle. Also unusual are the large fender flares added to the wheel arches. Again, it's a legal requirement that you don't have the wheels of a vehicle sticking out further than the bodywork. And so that would imply that the wheelbase of the ID Buzz, the surf camper van, is slightly wider than a transporter. So they've had to just sort of stick on some wheel arches to be compliant. That's what I would think anyway. And you would think the track is going to be wider. There's the nose. Now, the nose, it is close to a transporter, but actually, when you look at this picture next to a transporter, the nose has been shortened. It's a very stubby nose. If you look at the side angle, there's a ton of photos, maybe 10 or 15 they've got on the website. So the front, very much shorter. Same for the rear. The rear is definitely shortened, so the wheels are pushed to all four corners, and that simply couldn't be true if this were a combustion vehicle, because there's just not enough room for the big diesel engine that would be up the front of a transporter. So it's expected to be revealed next year. It's a 2022 reveal, and it will go into production next year as well. Other things that, if I just flick through the photos, I can see, well, when I've hired a transporter van, because you get the VW transporter as a people carrier, or you can get the transporter as a panel van for moving stuff. When I've hired one to move house or shift stuff before, the diesel filler cap is kind of at kind of waist level on the driver's side door. So what you have to do is open the driver's door, and then that allows you to open another flap that is inside. So when the fuel flap is closed and you shut the driver's door, you can't open the fuel flap. So that is entirely missing on this car. So I don't know where you would have put diesel into this vehicle if it were. And it's not. I think it's electric. If you look at the front, it's pretty open. Now, sometimes we can tell an EV when we look at these spy photos and the front is all blocked off. I think the front is more blocked off than a transporter, because the lower half of the grill, everything beneath the headlights, is all completely blocked off. There's no airflow in there. And again, you'd want to get airflow to an engine. And then, of course, there's the good old let's go round the back and have a look for an exhaust pipe test. And I just can't see one. Now, that's not to say there isn't one, because diesel exhausts don't, you know, stick out like big A, you know, four pipes on the back like a big high-performance V8 petrol. It would just be tucked away, angled down. But I'm staring at these pictures, and for the life of me, I cannot see where the exhaust would go. They've stuck some bits of panel on the rear, some bodywork panel that look like temporary panels to do with the testing vehicle. So again, this is a testing, this looks like a test vehicle. And also, there's a tow bar on this as well. So they're testing the towing capabilities. Of course, you would want to, because that VW ID Buzz, with all the Zs, which they unveiled, the, whatever you want to call it, the California surf van, the camper van, they are going to make that. And the styling of the concept was amazing. It was, I think it was the first time I saw it, I think it was a Fully Charged video. I think back when Johnny Smith was still on Fully Charged, they sent him over and did a, like, it was a, I don't know, a sort of like a beach, kind of Santa Monica type location. And there was a couple of VW IDs. This was years ago when they were, they, you know, literally caught one in the world. And the van looks amazing. Really looking forward to that. What's it going to be when it arrives? Well, it'll be on the MEB platform that sits underneath the ID3 and the ID4. Probably a couple of hundred horsepower. Probably a single motor, rear drive powertrain as standard. And you can imagine that it would get some sort of all-wheel drive, more high-power version as an option later in time as well. There's so many families that could do with a vehicle like this that's pure electric, that's going to carry a ton of stuff, and the dog and the kids and surfboards and bikes. So many working uses for this as well, as airport shuttles, hotel shuttles. This isn't going to be like a fancy Mercedes-Benz EQV, you know, with blacked-out windows and, you know. This is a much more fun, playful vehicle, but it's really exciting. And I love finding stuff like this because just the sheer absence of the filler cap, because the panel is there where you would, where I've put diesel in when I've hired these vehicles before, but the whole panel's missing and it's blanked off. It's like, well, this is obviously an EV, and what's underneath it? That, I mean, obviously, and you know, the shots of the inside, it's taken from the road, so you can't really see in. But again, lots of black fabric draped all over the dashboard. You don't do that unless you're hiding something. This is every day of the week. This is a test vehicle. I love it. All right, I keep my eyes peeled for more stuff to talk about. Sorry, I'm getting super, super excited about this now. Look, if it's a next year reveal and then going into production, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Next, Volvo Cars are having a good old time with EVs starting 2021. On a strong note, Volvo Cars reported the best ever January in its history, as Europe, China and the US all reported increased sales. And what are people buying? Plug-in cars, the volume of Recharge models. The Recharge is the name they give to both their plug-in hybrids and their full electrics, which is fine. Confuses me a little, because someone says, oh, I've got the XC40 Recharge, and you've got, so is it what, the plug-in or the full battery electric? And you know, they call them both the same thing, but I guess that's not really confusing. That's me being more of an idiot than I need to be. A volume of Recharge models doubled in January year on year. 23% of all Volvo cars sold around the world now have a plug socket on. European sales for the month increased by 9% to 25,000 cars, with strong performances in Sweden, Germany and the Netherlands. The Recharge cars here in Europe were 41% of their total sales. Yeah, right, we are just exploding with the choice of cars we've got to have, and I do feel for my American listeners, because you're just having to wait just a little bit longer for you to get more of those vehicles on the market. But, I mean, look, you have got the XC40 Recharge and plug-in hybrid, and you can get that car. I know it's not in plentiful supply. Make sure you call your, you know, your local dealers. And long-time listeners know that we are sponsored and supported by one of those Volvo dealers at Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. Very, very kindly been helping us make this podcast for a long time. I've worked with them a little bit kind of offline, as it were, as well. Looking forward to doing more of that this year. I know they've got their first one in now, so if you're in the area, give them a call. Get your name down for it. Next, we'll talk Jeep Wrangler. The Wrangler EV is slowly appearing on the horizon, as Jeep has now confirmed that a concept version of the pure battery-powered SUV is arriving this spring. A teaser photo on the company's new website called The Road Ahead, it's more of a mini site really, has shown off the Wrangler Pure EV. The iconic looks, driven by battery power. Production could follow either late this year or early next year. Now, these things do slip back. We wouldn't be surprised to see it going to production later this year. According to Car and Driver, a diagram showing the Wrangler EV's underpinnings has appeared online, showing a single electric motor with a two-speed transfer case rather than the dual motor setup that you think would be inside a Jeep Wrangler. This will always be a four-wheel drive option car, at least anyway. They will not sell a Wrangler that can't have all-wheel drive. There's three or possibly four battery modules, body-on-frame setup like a standard Wrangler, and the plug-in Wrangler, the 4XE, or rather the 4xE, as I should call it, because we'd say 4x4, so I should say 4xE, which does seem a bit weird. That's a terrible name. So excited about the Wrangler EV coming. Brilliant. That's going to have a market. Definitely there's going to be people that want that car, loving the styling, who are brand loyal and want to drive on battery power. Bring it on. Next, let's talk about two-wheel power. A Honda CB EV could be coming. Based on recent patent filings, Honda details a possible EV bike based on the CB125 R, the smallest displacement motorcycle in Honda's Neo Sports Cafe range, says Jalopnik. Now, the filing seems to build off a prior patent application that stoked speculation. But back in 2019, Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha and Kawasaki all agreed to create a consortium exploring how to develop EV tech in two-wheel applications. The alleged EV bike looks as if it carries its battery beneath the gas tank, where the gas tank would be on a normal bike, which is kind of fitting, but also weight distribution will be an interesting one. Some EV bikes put the battery down nice and low. However, that does change the dynamics, the riding dynamics, so we'll see what comes out, but that's great. You know, Honda getting into two-wheeled electric bikes is just fantastic. You know, there's so many people that don't want a car, don't even want a small car, they just want to electrify two wheels. Those people are, you know, around the world are plentiful, and they love EV cars, but they really want EV bikes as well. Okay, let's move on. Tesla's operations in China has stalled a little bit thanks to regulators in China. Regulators there have thrown a spanner in the works for Tesla's operations as they've questioned the quality and safety issues in the Shanghai Gigafactory. Five regulators in China, including the country's top market regulator, the cyberspace watchdog, and the transportation authority, have all summoned Tesla following consumer complaints about abnormal acceleration, about battery fires, according to a statement on Monday, says Yahoo Finance. Now, in response, Tesla posted a statement on their Chinese blogging platform Weibo on Monday saying, and I quote, "At present, the company is strengthening internal working mechanisms and processes under the guidance of the competent government departments." Sucking up much. "And strengthening internal management in all aspects. For the problems reported by consumers, say Tesla, we will systematically investigate, effectively implement the protection of consumer rights and interests, further implement the main responsibility of corporate quality and safety, effectively maintaining social public safety, and better contribute to the healthy and healthy development of China's new energy vehicle market in the future." Wow. Talk about complying. You know, it is funny, if I may offer a personal opinion here, when the US regulators, the NHTSA, when NHTSA have been on this ongoing dialogue about the failing screens that go black and leave your car undrivable. They say it's a safety issue as well because you can't see the backup cameras and nav and things like that. Tesla have been saying, no, well, it shouldn't be a permanent recall, and well, we've reduced the price to $1,000 and something, and no, it shouldn't be it's a wear and tear part, so we shouldn't have to pay. They're really, really pushing back on the US regulators who have been investigating this, and Tesla have been pushing back like a petulant teenager at times, going, no, everything's fine, our cars are amazing. And then China, for the first time, say, hey, Tesla, why was there a fire and why are people complaining? And literally, like, in the first minute, Tesla have gone, oh, I'm really sorry, it won't happen again, everything will be fixed in the next couple of hours, oh, I'm really sorry. You know, I do. Maybe I'm exaggerating for effect. That sounds a lot like me. However, there's probably a grain of truth somewhere amongst all of that theatre and hyperbole that I scatter on this podcast. You make your own mind up, as always. Right, let's talk about Model Ys being spotted at the port of Belgium in Europe. Giga Berlin production is kicking off this summer, but recently five Model Ys were spotted in Belgium, which of course got interest in the last 24 hours. The cars were shipped over from the US and will be used by Tesla over here in Europe, according to Tasmanian. The Twitter user Esther Kuckelman shared a photo of five Model Ys on Twitter. There could have been more. This photo just had five of them in. The caption of the photo indicated the vehicles were in Zeebrugge. That's a port in Belgium. According to the Twitter user who I chat to occasionally, Morten Lund 89 is his username. The first Tesla ship in Q1 this year arrived in Zeebrugge on the 8th of Feb. Glovis Captain is the name of the ship, which departed from San Fran and delivered Model 3s for Europe, but did have Model Ys on board according to the photos. Pop a link in the show notes if you want to see more. Exciting. What are Tesla going to do with those? Because, of course, the Model Y coming out of Berlin is going to be entirely different to the ones made in the US. It's going to have a single-piece front and rear cast sections and a structural battery pack with 4680 cells. Who is to say that these five Model Ys aren't built that way? We know that the casting machines are being delivered. We know that the pilot line is up and running in California. We know that those are the cars that are going to be made in Berlin, and you would want to start training your early employees, your early staff, your early managers, your early manufacturing experts with what the car will be like when it's finished. Who's to say Tesla haven't built five of these new cars in California and shipped them over? That hasn't been suggested today, just something that crossed my mind, because I saw a lot of comment today from people saying, oh, what's the point of shipping Model Ys to Europe? Because they're going to be different cars. And people saying, oh, well, you know, Tesla still want to test them on European weather and roads and etc. And I'm like, well, they could be the new ones. Or maybe less of the conspiracy theories from me. Right, next, a tweet that I saw from the official Jaguar account at Jaguar, funnily enough. We are delighted, said this tweet, to announce that global chauffeur service Black Lane has acquired a majority stake in Haven, London's all-electric chauffeur service, powered by Jaguar I-Paces and the Jaguar Land Rover Mobility Services arm in Motion VC. With this deal, the Berlin-based Black Lane, which operates in more than 300 cities and 50 countries, is going to add Jaguar's Haven, the all-electric service using Jaguar I-Paces to their global fleet. It's app-based, it's ride-hailing, it's called Haven. It was launched in September 2019 by Jaguar Land Rover, and Reuters say that global ride-hailing service firms like Uber and Lyft are increasingly electrifying their fleets following years of criticism by environmental groups. In fact, we've had Lyft on this very podcast talk about their 2030 electric plan. As impressive as it is, you can check out in the archive at ev.news or evnewsdaily.com, search in the top bar, and you can just search for Lyft, and you'll find that Saturday special interview if you are interested. Next, Kia is in the news today. They're announcing an update to their long-term Plan S strategy for the future of their business. On an investor day earlier today, held digitally in Seoul, the ambitious update to its long-term roadmap was presented by the president and CEO of Kia, Ho-Sung Song. By 2030, they say, our eco-friendly vehicles like EVs and plug-in hybrids will make up 40% of all sales for Kia. That doesn't seem a lot, actually. By 2030, what, in 9 years' time, less than half of your cars will have a plug socket? That seems like you're lowballing. An annual target of 1.6 million units, they say. As part of this, Kia aims to grow EV sales to 880,000 units by 2030 and become a top global seller, starting with the launch of their first dedicated EV later this year. Because, of course, the Kias so far haven't, they've been alongside combustion cars as well. The new Kia EV lineup starts with the EGMP, the eGIMP. They are bringing out the eGIMP architecture for this one with 11 new models by 2026. That is mega exciting. So in the next 5 years, 11 new models. Brilliant. Two a year we get to talk about. Fantastic. Next, we'll talk about Porsche. Porsche's found a replacement for their Cayenne series manager, Manfred Harrer, who just left for Apple to work on, I don't know, whatever Apple could be working on that they would want to poach automotive engineers. Stefan Wechbach used to be the chief developer of the Taycan project and took over responsibility for the Cayenne series, according to Electrive. Porsche has been more than satisfied with the launch of the Taycan, used to be known as Mission E, which is a great name for an electric car, but Taycan was the name they eventually went to market with. In 2020, the company based in Germany was able to deliver 20,015 units of the Taycan built at their main plant last summer. Porsche even borrowed a few Audi employees. Said, oi, over this side of the factory, we need some help. Finally, Continental. Of course, they make many bits that go inside many cars, but they're making a lot of components for EVs. A Continental survey has revealed that while personal vehicle use has increased in China during the COVID crisis, this could lead to a boost for electric mobility in cooperation with social research institute Infras. This Continental study focused on people in France, the US, Japan, China and Germany. More than 45% of respondents in China said they use their car more often because of COVID, almost twice as high as the number in Germany. Only 23% in Germany are using their car more because of COVID. Other findings show that the lack of charging stations is the most cited argument against EVs. In 4 out of the 5 countries in the study, only in France did the French people say price is what's holding them back. I'll pop a link to the itsinternational.com blog for that full story in the show notes. Time for our question of the week this week, and I'd love to hear from you so I can read out your answer on Sunday. Regardless of technology or even the specs, who do you think is designing the best-looking EV right now? And tell me why. It can be any shape or size, any price point. Just tell me what you think looks best. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. You know, there's 988 previous shows in the archive. Goodness me, we are barreling towards show 1,000. And yes, I finally do have a few plans firmed up to tell you about what we'll be doing after 1,000 podcasts and maybe even what'll happen over the next 1,000 podcasts. You can get all the information on this show at ev.news on the website. If you can leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, it makes a big difference, even if it's just a 5-star rating or, you know, a few words helps me out. And thanks to our premium partners on Patreon, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you for Thursday's edition, and do remember there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.